Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Our Town podcast. Today, we have with us Evangelia Pantis from Stewart Title. She is a local title rep here in Sacramento, California. And today, we're going to be going over Toastmasters, the importance of Toastmasters. The three of us, Chris and I and Evangelia, are all in the same Toastmasters group. She's actually the VP of Education for our Toastmasters organization. So we'll be going over a little bit of that today and just learning more about the lovely Evangelia.
And she's also president-elect, too.
She's also president-elect.
Of Toastmasters.
Of Toastmasters.
Not the world, just saying.
So Toastmasters. Letty and I joined Toastmasters about 3 months ago?
Yeah.
3 months ago, and I feel that it's probably one of the best things I've done to really help me in my public speaking. It is the most nerve-wracking thing I probably have ever done. What made you get into Toastmasters and how did you get started?
Well, I have a similar story, and I think everyone that joins Toastmasters has a little bit of trepidation speaking publicly, more or less, or they want to improve their communication skills or leadership skills. So all that was part of my incentive as well. I actually originally started about 25 years ago.
Wow.
I was in a club for a couple of years, and then I had a very long hiatus and jumped back in about 3 years ago. And, you know, part of Toastmasters is finding the right club and the right fit. And I feel like it's been really, really instrumental in my personal growth, my ability to communicate on the spot and with other people and not get nervous or get less nervous if I'm asked to speak at a wedding or do a eulogy or something of that nature that really requires you to not have that much time to prepare and just go for it.
Yeah. So I've noticed that growing up, my uncle was always the one that got forced to do all the speeches. And it was because he was an attorney and he just got used to being up in front of everybody. And so no matter what it was, he was the one doing it. And I was like, oh, I wish I could be that good. I wish I could be that good. And I would say that since I've joined Toastmasters, I feel more comfortable even doing videos. I feel more comfortable about talking to people. When it comes to doing our presentations for real estate agents and stuff like that, has it helped you in your career doing that for the title company as well?
Yes, absolutely. In my line of work, because I'm in the sales and marketing and business development side, I'm really supporting agents and loan officers to become better and more knowledgeable in their in our side of the field as well, because it's part of the transaction usually to have title and escrow in a real estate or a refi. So I do presentations for the groups. I explain the process. I explain what we do. I explain how it affects the clients and the customers. And if I did not have that training, it would be a very difficult position to be in. And I really wouldn't have that advantage to be able to speak to people face to face. I would be more on the back end and relying really on someone else to do this work for me. So it's just been really valuable to be able to put material together, to be able to draw in from other people's speeches and just create something for my own benefit and for everyone else's benefit as well.
Yeah. So at Toastmasters, there's like a list of all these different jobs that people have on a weekly basis. So we meet every Friday morning at
8:30, 8:45. 8:45.
We start on the spot. 8:45. And it is at the Sacramento Association of Realtors if anybody wants to come and just learn about what we do. I think it's fantastic. But you don't just start somebody off with a speech, right?
No.
You could. You kind of wean them into the whole thing. So how does it kind of start?
We try to be kind. So in Toastmasters, the idea is that we have several opportunities to speak in front of an audience. You can speak in front of a mirror all day long or to your stuffed animals, but you really won't grow so much. So when you have an opportunity to speak in front of other people, this is how the process starts. We have several different roles. Like, for instance, we have an inspirational thought and the Pledge of Allegiance. Someone can recite the club mission. We have someone that is the vote counter and the timer and the grammarian, where we look out for special words or we use words of the day. And We have an awe counter, which is the funnest one because you get to listen to the ahs, the ums, the sos, the buts that most people don't even know that they're saying these things during a speech or even in their regular speaking life. So this is a really... See how easy that is?
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
We have the opportunity to practice, and we have little clickers and so forth that are a little annoying but kind of cute at the same time that alert you to when you're using a word that is a filler or not really appropriate for this particular time. So you have a lot of opportunities that lead you into actually doing a speech. And the very first speech that you're going to do is an icebreaker. Should not be anything about your company or anything other than about yourself. We make it easy. You can explain something about your life, or we just want to get to know you and what you are and what you do, or whatever you'd like to talk about. That's usually how we start. And then you integrate. You do other roles. There are table topics where it's extemporaneous speaking. There are evaluators, which, you know, we'll get into later. But there are so many roles that you work up to do a speech. And believe it or not, most of the speeches are 5 to 7 minutes. It can go by just like that. Everyone thinks, oh my gosh, I can't speak for 5 to 7 minutes. But really, whenever you're preparing a speech, you're into it for 10 minutes and you had no idea. So it really does take the organization to practice and get the timing down, because in Toastmasters, we also have time restrictions. If you go over time, then you're disqualified as far as winning the speech, you know, the best speech type thing.
Okay. And when it comes to the speeches, so there is the icebreaker, that's the getting to know you.
Yeah.
What can you talk about with the other speeches?
The other speeches, well, we have something called a pathway. Everyone that joins Toastmaster essentially signs up for a particular pathway, whether it's presentation mastery or a visionary one or for expressing your humor a little bit more. And or for leadership skills, every single pathway will focus on a particular skill set that's a little bit different than the next one. So this will guide you to what to select as far as what you want to speak about. The first speech, again, is your icebreaker, but the second one is going to be really still anything you want, but it's going to be related to your path. This is like the greatest platform, in my opinion, because you can talk about all your personal likes, interest, and you can talk about something with your work. You can just completely craft it any way you'd like to be able to express what you want to express and make the most of it for you. So it's never really about for anyone else other than if you want to benefit someone else with what your the content of your speech is. But for the most part, it's just so open that you can really talk about anything you'd like to talk about.
That's awesome. So who would this help? Like, would this definitely help real estate agents, other loan officers? Who's it going to help?
Absolutely. First of all, it helps with one-on-one conversations because we practice extemporaneous speaking as well. But we also help with group speaking. So for instance, a real estate agent might have an opportunity to do a listing presentation in front of potential sellers that want to sell their home or something like that. They can prepare something a little bit more precise, a little bit more targeted to, you know, how, you know, what the seller is going to net in their value and in their pocket. All these things are really kind of strategic. That's just one way to express it. Also, with reference to doing a refinance, you really have to explain the pros and the cons of refinancing your home. You know, what is going to be the benefit to you overall and what's the long-term plan. So it really gives someone an opportunity to think about long-term, really what the goal is in terms of the conversation and really plan for it. So it can really help so many people in so many ways.
And the what are the things called where you get up and they just give you a topic to talk about? What's that called?
That's called a table topic.
Table topic.
Yeah.
So the first table topic that I got, I turned purple because I was at a loss for words. But then the table topics I've done after that everything seems to come to you a little bit quicker. But the first one that you get is kind of a crack in the mouth.
Oh, it's painful.
It's so painful. How did you?
I felt like I was going to pass out on my first table topic. Because you just like, I feel like I've only done one speech so far. My second one is this Friday. But once you're actually like up there, even though it's not that many people, I tend to just black out and kind of just forget like what I'm actually like trying to say. And it's at that point just like almost memorized. So I'm saying it, but I'm not really realizing what I'm saying or what I'm doing. I'm just like, it's so weird.
It is weird. It's the whole deer in the headlights thing happens. You know, when you're in front of someone, this is why, you know, people say they can speak in front of a mirror or speak in front of their family. It's never the same thing as speaking in front of a group of strangers or your peers. And it does elicit that, you know, that freeze. And where you're not really in your body, you've sort of exited stage left. So part of being on stage or in front of the podium is to practice being present in your body, listening to the question, being able to speak from your heart or from your mind or whatever comes to you, but to be able to deliver something fairly organized with no preparation because you're here and you listen to the question and you're able to do that.
Yeah, it's quite nerve-wracking. Yeah. And then the other roles within it are much easier too. So just the roles of counting the ums and uhs, which by the way, I listen to now when somebody's doing a speech or I'm listening to a podcast, I'm like, this guy keeps saying he's driving me insane. And you catch that, and I even hear it when I am giving a presentation for like a buyer's class, and then the agent goes up and they're humming and this and that, and I'm like, oh my God, they should join Toastmasters so just so they could get better at it. And yeah.
And you're right, because it raises your awareness on listening. That's the other great benefit of Toastmasters, is you become a really great listener. And even as a smaller role, listening to ahs and and buts. And when you first listen, you can't really hear everything because you're not a skilled listener. The more that you come to the club meetings, you become more acclimated. You start listening to other people report what they heard because there are so many filler words that we're not even familiar with. And the fact that you need to come up and report it afterwards, it's still a speaking opportunity. So it's a passive action, it looks like, to just write down or listen to what someone else says. But you go up and you report, you know, so-and-so did, you know, 5 2 so's, 1 but, double clutch, you know, and, but.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like it.
Yeah.
So when it comes to – now, is this just for people in sales or is it for anybody?
It's really for anyone. We happen to at our club, because we are at the Sacramento Association of Realtors, we tend to draw in a few more people that are in our business. However, we have literally doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs in our club as well. We have everything – we're welcoming everyone in our club. In fact, we love the fact that it's diverse because it brings a lot of flavor and color into our club, and we get to hear a whole list of other types of speeches. And many employers actually want their employees to go to a Toastmasters club to become better communicators with their clients, because sometimes even being able to pick up the phone with a smile and have a really pleasant conversation, be able to listen to someone else's needs, those are acquired skills. Sometimes they're not innate for many people. But when you're Toastmasters, you really get to build a great foundation of listening and speaking and communicating. It's just a whole big kit and caboodle.
Yeah. When I first went to join Toastmasters, this was, I don't know, probably 2015. And I left my office over off of University. I was driving up Howe Avenue, and it used to be there was a Toastmasters in the Red Lobster.
Yeah.
And I got so nervous on the way that I made a U-turn. I literally made a U-turn and went back to the office because I was already had so much anxiety on my way there that I went back to the office. I just didn't even go.
Hence, you know, we always say, please come as a guest.
Yeah.
No pressure, no one. You just show up, you know, kind of show up in the back of the room. We're probably going to say, what's your name? You know, why? How'd you find us? Type of thing. But we're really a friendly, friendly group. And most Toastmasters clubs are super friendly. And really, everyone has the same issue going in there. I don't want to call it an issue. It's just what it is. You know, public speaking is one of the top five fears. And that runs across for most people. There are very few people that are naturally great speakers. Most people need to practice and develop the skill set. And the best part about Toastmasters is that anyone can become a great speaker. It is not subjected only to a few people. It is really, we have a technique, we have certain things that we look for, that we evaluate people on in certain areas. So every time someone comes up to speak, there's one thing you can walk away with, because we even have evaluators. We have evaluators that will listen intently to your speech and try what we call like the sandwich method. We talk about the things that were great, and then we talk about on a personal level, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of this or that, and that would have really made, you know, given that speech even a bigger punch. And then we do the other side of the sandwich and we wrap it up with something positive and encouraging. So really going into Toastmasters, no one's critiquing anyone negatively. It's really all a positive step forward so that everyone can improve.
Yeah, I noticed that on my last speech in a big way, because I couldn't put the speech together the way I wanted to put it together. And I did the speech and I was very discombobulated. And then the feedback that I got was so good that now I know the next time I do one, how to organize the speech even better for it to flow. Like, it didn't flow. It was kind of choppy, my last speech was. I didn't have a beginning and an end. I just kind of had a middle. And that was it. And the feedback I got was so good and so important that I'm now, it's like I got it. It makes sense, even though I probably don't got it, but I got it.
You got it more. Well, they say that good speeches are written and great speeches are rewritten. It's always a progress. Even sometimes when someone gets sick the night before and we don't have like a speech slot or something like that, we've played winning speeches at competitions as like an example. Like, we fill in a slot with watching a 5 to 7 minute speech. And even then, we're asked to be an evaluator for even the winning speech, because every speech has some crack in there that can actually just really have it improve that much more. Now, it could be based upon the eye of the beholder. It could be based upon someone's perception. Oh, I would have liked to have seen this, or I would have liked to have seen that. But really, there's always an opportunity to refine the skill set. There's never a time where anyone's a perfect speaker. It is a growing art. It is a skill set. And again, we learn every single step one by one by just attending a weekly meeting, or however often, you know, your meeting is, or even join two clubs. You know, some people do that in order to really expedite their experience.
Now, have you noticed it help you quite a bit?
I feel like it has helped me build confidence for sure, especially because we do so many videos every week. I feel more comfortable like in front of the camera now. And that's not even a crowd, it's just like a camera. And I'm more conscious of using like the ums, uhs, and like all of that. But yeah, it definitely builds confidence. And it's strange, because when I first started, I think the first couple meetings, I almost felt like silly being there. Like, I was like, this is silly, I don't know if I like this. But once I actually started doing table topics more, I think I got table topics like 5 weeks in a row because I wasn't signing up for any of the roles. I liked it after, like, once I got to like my fifth one. If I didn't have a role 1 week, I was kind of like, man, like, I wish I was talking. I wish I was speaking. And then after I did my first speech, I was like, that was kind of fun. Like, it's like exhilarating.
And you're actually kind of funny. I noticed, like, ooh, she's kind of funny.
The beer one was the best.
Yeah, well, it just was.
Yes.
You know, and that's the best part, is that you get to practice being yourself. You know, we sometimes feel like we have to fulfill a role or it has to look a particular way. But the best speeches are ones that people are really rooted in themselves and they can just speak naturally. Like, you're naturally funny. And for that particular moment, it came out and it was hysterical. But if we don't have the practice to do that, then we never really get to that space. Because each individual person has their own gift to really share. And it's going to be different from everyone else's, but each one is really special.
And have you noticed, have you been doing any buyer's classes or anything like that since
yeah,
then?
Yeah, I did one, I think the week before my first speech. And it was my first like really large group for a home buyer seminar. There was about 35, 36 people. So I was extremely nervous, but I think it went really well. So I think it helps a lot with just like stage presence and being able to calm your nerves. Like, I think at one point in my first speech 2 weeks ago, the first 2 minutes I was really, really nervous. And at one point, because I saw past speakers do this, they kind of just stop and they gather themselves and they kind of just take a breath. So that's like exactly what I did. I was just like, like, I got this. And then the rest of it went, I think, way smoother, like the last 3-4 minutes of my speech. So,
you know, sometimes when I'm up there, I feel like I don't want to come across cheesy, or I don't want to come across, and I'm like, I start to think about what the audience is thinking about me. And that's why I think I start getting worked up. Do you get that as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everything happens in Toastmasters.
Yeah.
Do you still get nervous? I feel like you are one of the most confident.
Yeah, because you're
people.
Great up there. Like.
Thank you. No, I really do. And especially when I'm unprepared. Because you have no idea what is going to come out right now when we're relying on the ethers to deliver something wonderful. No, it's always a little nerve-wracking. And it may be because also I've been in this club for 3 years and I'm a little more familiar with the people, and that gives us some grace to be a little bit more comfortable, at least in our peers. But you do something like what you did, or you go speak in front of 200 people and deliver some kind of message that's a brand new audience, or asked to do, you know, a podcast or some type of speech somewhere, that will kick up a whole other level of nerves that wasn't present, you know, in your everyday club experience. So this is why we actually encourage people in Toastmasters to go to other venues and create speaking opportunities for yourself to practice this. Don't just stay in a club, and because that's not the total experience. That's just where you hone your skill set. But really, be in front of brand new people and just express and prepare something that's valuable and interesting for your audience. And that's really where you benefit. That's another area where you benefit, is just being able to do that and prepare seminars. And for me, it's preparing presentations, or sometimes I actually do buyer seminars as well with agents or loan officers. Like, I'm the title and escrow side, where I explain my side of the transaction, because most buyers or sellers don't really know what we do. Things of that nature. So, yes.
So I noticed that there is also a bunch of other ways to grow within Toastmasters, meaning you guys are always going to contests and stuff. And what's
always
that all?
Going to contests.
There's always like extra stuff going on. What is all this extra stuff?
The extra stuff. Well, just in the same category of going out and doing something different outside in an outside venue, it's the same thing with a contest. You don't really know where you stand unless you perhaps compare yourself to other Toastmaster members that are also competing. So once or twice a year, there are speech contest opportunities where someone has the opportunity to practice a speech or do an evaluation, which is more of an impromptu, or do a humorous speech contest. So there are different types of contests. And the first thing is we compete within our own group, and whoever places first and second goes to the next level. And then they compete in that arena, and if they are first or second place, they go to the next level. And that's, and then eventually you can go to become perhaps the International Speaker of the Year, which is pretty cool because Toastmasters, first of all, is in several countries. So it's an international club. It's not just a Sacramento or California. It's really in every state and internationally. So when you're competing, you are competing with like everyone. So it's kind of cool. It's something just to brush up and polish up your skill set for competition as well.
And there's more than, I mean, obviously there's a bunch of groups in Sacramento. There's a lot of groups, isn't there?
There are a lot of groups, yes.
About how many do you know?
I don't know, but lots.
I mean, they could pretty much, if somebody was wanting to join, they could, there's, I mean, in every little area, nook and cranny, different times of the day. It's not just early in the morning. I think there's some that even meet at like 6 o'clock at night.
Oh, they meet even later.
Do they?
Yeah, they meet all different kinds of times because if you think about it, there are different lines of work and different organizations want accessibility to be able to speak. If some, like we meet Friday mornings, that happens to work in my schedule, probably works in your schedule, but maybe doesn't work for someone else's schedule if they drop off their children at a particular time or they can't arrange babysitting or whatever. There are several clubs to accommodate everyone. And part of Toastmasters, some people might join a Toastmasters meeting or be a guest at a Toastmasters meeting and not really feel something for the club. So we say, don't blame Toastmasters, just go to another club because there is an affinity likely out there for you where you're going to feel that warm fuzzy or you're going to feel inspired by the group or one particular person. Something's going to draw you to a particular club. So it encouraged people to go interview some clubs. I mean, just do some club hopping and see which one fits your needs. And it's going to be, there are so many options for time and location. You know, if you live, you know, at El Dorado Hills, there's probably a club out there. If you live downtown, there's a club, several clubs down there. So it doesn't matter where you live. There is very likely a club right around the corner.
And it's not crazy expensive to join. Do you have to join for a year? Do you have to show up? Like, what are the dues?
It's a 6-month due.
Okay.
And I believe it to be fairly inexpensive. It ends up being like probably less than $15 a month type of thing between your international and your local club dues. So you're paying an X amount for every 6 months. Every club is going to have a particular dues that are a little bit different than every other club, but they're really, I mean, it's like 2 or 3 cups of coffee. It's not really a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's intended because it's not a profit-oriented club. It's really nonprofit. It's intended to build better people, you know, so it's not a money-making anything. It's really, that's not the goal of Toastmasters. The goal of Toastmasters is really to encourage people to come in and really at a very inexpensive and effective cost.
Okay. All right. And is there any sort of ongoing education that happens or anything like that?
There is. In fact, there are always trainings available, not every weekend, obviously. But when you
Since
are...
Since you're the education person, I just thought I'd
education
ask.
Education person, yes. If you take on the role of an officer, and there are several roles of officers in the club, and that's also another way to increase your leadership capacities because you have a certain set of responsibilities and you're looking out for your other fellow Toastmasters and you're also looking out for other clubs as well sometimes in some positions. If you have a leadership position, say you're the VP of membership or the VP of public relations, and this particular time I've taken on the role of VP of education, there's the president, there's, you know, a few things in between. There are trainings to actually fulfill that position in a much better way. So you have other people that have done the role that are speaking about the role. Again, it's another speaking opportunity for someone who actually has been an officer to share some tips and tricks or ways to accelerate or ways to increase, you know, club participation and or to make each and every member have a great experience. So these are some of the type of education tips that are available. If you go to a particular website, you can find a list of those things, or it's on a Saturday morning type training type of thing. And also, because we follow this pathway system where you choose the path that you're going to speak, that's the path that you've chosen, there's pathway trainings too. Everyone gets to participate in that as well.
Have you signed up for the pathways?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Wow. Okay, I haven't yet.
Don't say that out loud, because you're supposed to sign up pathways before you start speaking.
That you signed up?
Yeah, I signed up. I don't really know what to do from there, though.
So yeah. Okay.
So there are mentors and mentees.
Okay.
We have a really active club, and part of being really active is sometimes we're all super busy as well. But technically, you get together with your mentor, or we assign a mentor to you. Every single person gets a mentor to help develop you a little bit more quickly, to help direct you to where do I go for this and where do I go for that, you know. So it makes it a little bit easier for you as a member. Once you have your pathways, it's really simple. You just follow your nose and you just do your speeches, because ultimately to compete, you have to finish a couple levels of pathways in order to even qualify. And really ultimately, you're going to want to see your growth in pathways and see, I completed one, you know, the first level, I completed the second level, and then you're up to level 5, and that's like, wow, I've done 30 speeches. So it becomes like a milestone. Yeah, it becomes a milestone, and it's really exciting, because then you get to see, wow, I did this speech like 3 years ago, and it was so different than the speeches that I do today. And this is the fulfillment that we have.
Is it because I'm signed up for a pathway that Chris, are they assigning you your speeches? Or are you signing up for them?
Evangelia has just been like putting me in on everything. And okay. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll do that.
Yeah, because I thought it was because of the pathways, because I got a notification this morning that I'm signed up for a speech for Friday. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm doing a speech this Friday.
Yes, you are. And it's probably me that signed you up.
Yes, yeah.
We have this internal system called Frijos Toast, where every member can actually pop in and plug themselves in to do a particular role. And there are several roles to choose from. And if someone usually that is newer doesn't really have the incentive or the initiative to sign themselves up, I'll usually sign them up for them just to get the ball rolling. Because ultimately, I know from my experience, you feel great when you're actually doing it. If you're just a member watching everything, it's super entertaining. But the biggest punch and the biggest value for your buck is really to be in front and speaking to the group. And that's when you feel like, oh, you know, I did something today.
It gets kind of boring when you're just sitting there, not doing anything.
Yeah. And I will say that watching, there is one person that is with us, Arishna, and she seemed so, I haven't seen her since the beginning, but when I came in, she was so shy, withdrawn, everything. And now she's just up in front of people and talking, and she's completely changed even since I've been there.
Yes.
It seemed like she was just always wanting to be on a Zoom. She was trying to stay out of it. And then now all of a sudden she's showing up in person all the time, and she's standing in front of everybody and talking, and it's super cool to see how somebody just comes completely out of their shell.
Absolutely. And that's, we have lots of those stories, and this is the beauty of Toastmasters as well, is that some people come in a little bit, maybe they're more natural speakers, but some really come in terrified, like really absolutely terrified, just doing what you just did and turned around and went somewhere else. You know, they just can't imagine speaking in front of people. So to see like that kind of growth where someone can't even look at anyone in the eye and they're, you know, holding onto their paper for dear life type of thing, and literally the chatter of the teeth and everything is happening, like all these symptoms of absolute fear and dread are manifesting in front of you. And to see that, which we still congratulations, because, you know, if you can actually go up in that state and finish whatever you're supposed to finish, we absolutely will encourage every single person at whatever level they are. But to see when things start to change and one less thing happens and another, and then all of a sudden you see someone actually blossom. And especially when they're talking about something they know about, you get to see like this whole other side of someone that you never really saw. It's just a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
It's interesting how you said she's kind of developed from when you first started watching her to now, because this past meeting, this past Friday, like eventually I was saying earlier, you learn how to listen to people better and you develop really good listening skills. And I ran into her getting coffee outside of the meeting room, and I looked at her and I said, "Hi, Rishna." And she looked at me and she goes, "You know my name?" And I was like, "Yes, we listen to you every Friday. Like, yeah, of course I know who you are." So it was just so interesting. That just reminded me of how you're saying she's developed.
Yeah. That's fantastic. So if people wanted to join, how do they track us down? How do they look for other, how do they look for groups to look at, all that kind of stuff? Or if they wanted to join the group that we're in, how would they track us down that way?
We are called the Articulators, and the Sacramento Articulators, and we meet at the Sacramento Association of Realtors, which is 2003 Howe Avenue. It's right across the street from Home Depot. And we meet there every Friday mornings, rain or shine, at promptly 8:45 a.m. till 10 a.m. But we sort of come in at 8:30 a.m. so that we get situated, because you got to grab a seat. Sometimes the seats get full. However, if that time does not work for you, or that club doesn't work for you for whatever reason, just go on to toastmasters.org and do a little search based upon zip code, or, you know, they have several fields, I believe, to search based upon times and zip codes and location, whatever, and they'll give you a list of clubs. And typically every club will run a little bit differently, but there's usually a contact person, and that's typically the VP of membership or someone in that vein will be able to direct them how to join the club. Ours is super easy. You can even join on Zoom if you like, because we have a hybrid club. You can check us out that way. It's never quite the same than being live, but you get the whole full kit and caboodle and experience that way. However, there are many clubs, again, that anybody can join. In fact, some of our members are part of two clubs or more, because they're very dedicated to their public speaking and their leadership skills.
Yeah, we had a lady the other day, she was 85 or something, and she was part of four or five clubs. Yeah. And she just drives around from club to club to club all day, you know.
Probably doesn't work.
No, she does not work.
This is okay. At 85, you're allowed to not work.
Yeah,
or whatever, you're allowed anytime. Yeah, so because it's fun.
Yeah.
It really.
And it gets her out, right?
It absolutely gets you out, and the more clubs you belong to, the more networking abilities you have. And that's the other part as well. When you're in a club, you have access not only to the members in your club. You know, we have people in different types of professions. Again, it's not only sales professions, it's all kinds of professions, and people have different skill sets. Your network of people grows on a personal level and on a business level. And the fact that Toastmasters is international, you can pop into a club, like, for instance, I'm Greek, so there are clubs in Greece.
Oh, wow. And
I can pop into a club that is, you know, there are English-speaking clubs and there are Greek-speaking clubs. I would prefer an English-speaking club, even though I do speak some Greek. It would just be a little bit easier. But there are so many opportunities. In fact, there was another club that I was invited to that they needed an evaluator. And this was another international club. But they met at 10 p.m. my time. And it was on a Friday night. I'm like, okay, I think I can swing this. You know, midnight comes around, but here I am evaluating. But it was really fun because there were people from all different countries that were meeting virtually online. So it was really awesome.
That's
super
cool.
It's just great. It's just great.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much for coming in. Seriously appreciate it. I wanted to get the word out about this.
And
I think it's a fantastic way to grow and and become better at your job. And almost going back to what you said earlier, the networking effect. So Stephanie, in our meeting, we sit next to each other quite a bit, and I had an offer go in on a property, and she called me up. She's like, "Chris from Toastmasters?" And she accepted the offer.
Your company. Chris from Toastmasters.
Yeah, she accepted the offer because she knew me from Toastmasters.
Ta-da!
So it works. It works.
Yes, it does. It does. It absolutely works on so many levels. And I get tickled every time I go to the club meeting just because I really love the people. I think we have so many dynamic and wonderful speakers and growing speakers. And it's just a total warm fuzzy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah. I enjoyed this.